Hi, this is Alan Schimmel.
And Mitchell Ashley.
And this is the Open Network for Network World. Mitchell, we're very happy to have a special guest join us today, Michael Sutton of Zscaler. Michael, welcome to the Open Network.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
Michael, just for our listeners, we already know your title, but for our listeners, what's your title over at Zscaler?
Yeah, sure. I'm the Vice President of Security Research over at Zscaler.
Absolutely. Great. So, Michael, our subject today is APT. It seems to be the security threat that everyone loves to hate. I know Zscaler has a great APT solution out in the market, and of course, there are several sort of APT-specific security vendors out there who've made a lot of noise as well as a lot of money around APT. But for some of our listeners who may not be familiar, Michael, do you want to give us a quick background what an APT is?
Yeah, and actually, I think that's a really important place to start because, you know, all the vendors, and hey, we're a vendor, so I have to throw us into that bucket. We've really marketed the term APT, and unfortunately, in doing so, we've kind of transformed it from what it really originally meant. And so, you know, let's kind of start by defining what APT truly is. You know, if we just break it down into that acronym, Advanced Persistent Threat, the advanced piece of it, it doesn't necessarily mean zero day. I think some people assume APT is zero day. The advanced piece, that means that the attacker is using whatever they need to from their toolbox. That could be known, unknown, could be social engineering. The persistent piece of that, these are targeted attacks that last for a long period of time. We're not measuring it in days and weeks. We're measuring it in very often months and years. And then the threat piece of it, this is not a mindless piece of code. This is a well-funded, well-educated group with a very specific target in mind that are going to use whatever resources they need. So it's not a headless botnet. This is a group performing a targeted attack. So that's really many of the things we say are an APT truly aren't, but that's an APT, you know, in the true definition.
Michael, could you give us an example of maybe an attack or a situation people might know of that is an APT? Be a good example.
Yeah, I think one of the best examples was the attack that really kind of put the term APT on the global map and brought it to people's attention for the first time. And that was the attack against Google. I guess it was probably 2-3 years ago now, where Google came out and admitted that, hey, you know, we've been targeted in this attack. Attackers got in, they gained access to the email of specific individuals within our network. And, you know, they gave some details that, hey, this originated in China in that particular case. It had been going on for many, many months. In that case, it used kind of a combination of known and unknown threats. So that would be very much kind of the poster child for what an APT truly would be.
Sure. And, of course, there's been some other, the RSA attack.
Absolutely.
I mean, a lot of people, I think, equate APT with cyber espionage or nation state type kind of, you know, strategic level attacks. But I think it's important to point out, Michael, that APTs aren't just, you know, China versus the US or Stuxnet or something that rises to the level of a DEFCON 3. APTs are also carried out purely for financial gain, to gain access to intellectual property, cash and stuff like that. Really, you know, just about any organization could be the subject or the target of an APT attack.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, the actors, if you will, I would say typically fall into two groups. One is nation states, and those are, you know, doing this for typically military defense purposes, trying to get intel that they wouldn't otherwise have access to. But then, yeah, the other big bucket is criminal organizations, and they're generally after either intellectual property or data, PII, information that's going to help them in an attack. Like in the case of RSA, they were after data that would help them bypass the RSA token security. Two very different groups with very different goals in mind, but you're absolutely right that I don't think there's any organization that should say, oh, well, you know, we're off the radar, because you'd be amazed you know, they will target, for example, law firms, because law firms do IP, intellectual property work, you know. They will, you know, target all sorts of groups. They're looking for that weak link, and as long as you're one piece of that chain, you may well be a target.
Absolutely. I mean, Mitchell, I don't know how much work you've done with APTs. Something I actually know quite a bit about now. And what's interesting about APTs is, you know, they're done with a tremendous amount of forethought. Most of the attacks and the kinds of threats we saw, Mitchell, when we were doing Still Secure, I always made it akin to, hey, it's just a thief walking down the hallway of a hotel, jiggling doorknobs, looking for an open door. With APT, no, they know what room you're staying in, and they're just going to figure out the best way to get in there. And that may be finding an adjacent room or a third party in the case of APT, which by compromising them, and maybe they're not as hardened, gives them some sort of privileged access to the real intended target, which is exactly what happened in the RSA case that Michael was talking about, right? They were able to break the seeds of the RSA tokens, and then I forgot if it was Lockheed or Grumman or one of the, you know, federal contractors using those RSA tokens, were then able to break into DoD, you know, files.
Yeah, so I put it in the strategic class of attacks, right? It's the, you know, the versus the drive-by or the random or looking for vulnerabilities to exploit. This is something that's much more sophisticated. Again, we used to call them under the radar. It's kind of a slow roll. It happened over
slow
days.
Slow and low.
Week, slow and low, exactly. Yep. And that's how they sneak by.
Yeah, and I like,
Michael.
Sorry,
I'm sorry.
I like your analogy of the hotel, and yeah, it's not the guy jiggling the doorknobs. It may be the bellhop. You know, they may have actually planted somebody that's, you know, an actual employee to get in there. So, you know, they're doing whatever it takes, and they're, you know, no shortage of resources, time, to be able to accomplish their goal.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Now, Michael, one of the recent kind of new techniques or vectors that I'm hearing around APT is the so-called watering hole,
mm-hmm.
you know, the water hole attack.
Yeah.
And why don't you explain that for our listeners a little bit?
Yeah, so the idea is, let's say we wanted to target some defense contractors, but rather than directly going to the defense contractors, we may target a resource that we know they're going to use. So maybe they all go to some blog, some website to get their daily news. So we infiltrate that. And then when they show up in the morning, they get infected. Actually, a really good example of one, a lot of tech companies in the Valley got infected. I think this was probably about a year ago. And it was because a popular site for doing mobile development had become infected. And so all these developers were going there to get their code and their tools, and when they did so, they became infected.
Absolutely. So again, not necessarily random, but, you know, knowing where your marks hang out, that's probably a good place. And if that's the weak link, that's not a bad place to get them with some, you know, iframe or some, you know, script that you know, is self-executing.
Yeah.
So, Michael, let's, you know, geez, 8 minutes talking about APT. We could spend 80 minutes on it, but let's hear a little bit. What is Zscaler, right?
Yep.
Not a APT-specific
right.
defense, but what's Zscaler doing?
Yeah, so, you know, and I think it's really important for customers to understand that, you know, I don't care what any vendor tells you. Nobody has a silver bullet. You know, when companies like RSA and Google can fall victim, the reality is, you know, target attacks are a really hard problem to solve. And the right attackers with the right resources, they're going to have some success. And we can talk about kind of mitigation strategies going forward. You know, it's not about building an impenetrable fortress. I'm sorry that is just not realistic today. You know, we also have to have detective controls. But so the overall point is there is no one thing that needs to be done. You know, this needs to be a layered defense and depth approach. And so I often break it up into, you know, what do we have to do on the protective controls, the side of protective controls, detective controls, and then remediation. And I think that's a mistake that a lot of companies make is they still focus all of their budget on protective controls. They think, oh, I'm just going to keep all the threats out. Any sizable company today, if you don't know of infected machines on your network, you're just not looking hard enough. I guarantee there are infected machines on your network. Maybe not at the APT level, but, you know, there are things that need to be cleaned up. it just means you're not spending enough time on detectives. So, you know, what we do is we try to do a very holistic, broad approach to hit those different layers. So on the protective side, we have different layers. You know, we'll do the standard sort of whitelisting, blacklisting. We do inline antivirus. We actually do behavioral analysis in our cloud-based model. So different layers of protection. Then at the detective side, we're doing bidirectional inspection, so we can also see that infected machine that's calling out to, say, the command and control server, and that's really important. Don't ignore those potentially infected machines. And then remediation, we don't get into doing consulting work and things like that, but you know, companies can leverage our logs, be taking all of our information on what we're seeing on their site, importing it into their SIM solutions, doing their own workflow so that they can be identifying these machines and cleaning them up and quarantining them off when they get infected. So I think you need to look at all three of those layers, and you know, we try to play a role in all of them.
What Michael brings up about, it's more than just defense. You have to be able to do the analytics post an event, or while you're researching other things, you have the opportunity to find where an attack may have happened, or certainly people who are attempting to, you know, break in, steal information, whatever it might be. So I'm really curious to hear from Michael a little bit about the behavior analysis that you do that's cloud-based, because that sounds like something that might be a little bit unique about the Zscaler approach.
Yeah, that is. Michael, before you do that, I want to mention a little bit more about behavioral analysis, because really that's one of the, you know, the success of APT is, as you say, though they all don't have 0 days, they all do have some usually advanced means of dropping in, you know, of the dropper, if you will, of dropping in what may be garden variety, you know, malware, Trojan, poison ivy, you know, kind of remote control kind of software, but you know, they use some method of dropping it that signatures usually don't pick up. And so I think the one thing you do see in the best APT type defenses is the behavior analysis. And not just on inbound traffic, but on outbound traffic as well. And that is something I think that's probably one of the greatest strengths of the Zscaler solution, as you said, Mitchell. Michael, why don't you tell our listeners about it?
Yeah, and so Alan, I think you make an important point that there is a whole reconnaissance phase in an APT attack. So yeah, the attacker knows a lot more about your organization. So they're in a much better position to decide, hey, what am I going to do? Am I going to employ social engineering? Do I need to go to a 0 day? So that's one big advantage that these attacks have that make them more sophisticated. Behavioral analysis, by no means a silver bullet, but a really important layer in that defense in depth approach model, and one that a lot of enterprises wouldn't have yet employed. So the concept of behavioral analysis is I take that binary and I may not know anything about it, and I simply dump it in a virtual environment and I let it do exactly what it's intended to do. I let it execute. And then I just sit back and watch it, and I watch the behavior of it. And if I see things that are malicious or suspicious in nature, like maybe I see it's logging keystrokes, or I see it injecting itself into another process, or in the case of a dropper, maybe it doesn't do anything malicious, but I see it reach out, make a network connection, and pull something else down. So it's a really important approach because it's the one approach that's not signature-based. You know, despite what all the marketing might have you believe, most security solutions are signature-based, meaning we have to look for the presence or absence of something. So we have to have knowledge of what we're looking for. Behavioral analysis is the one approach where I really don't have to have any knowledge up front. I may never have seen this particular binary before. I may never have seen the attack technique that it's using, but I see the behaviors that result from that, and as a result, I can block it. So what we do in a cloud-based model is all of our end users, when they're surfing the web, they surf through the Zscaler cloud. As they're downloading these binaries or encountering these binaries, that's when we're grabbing them, throwing them into the BA engine, analyzing it, and if we see something bad, then we're able to block that, not just for them, but for our other customers as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's an important part of it too. Is, and Michael, I don't know the Zscaler cloud is, but how give us an idea of the size of it. How many users are we talking about?
Yeah, no, it's we're 4,500 companies. That equates to about 12 million end users, and we see about 12 billion transactions a day. So we see a lot of traffic. You know, and another great advantage is just being able to data mine that traffic. It's so powerful that, you know, the concept of big data, that we can, anytime we see an anomaly, that's really valuable. For example, if I suddenly see a bunch of traffic to a domain today that I've never seen before, that's a weird scenario when you're able to monitor that level of traffic. 9 times out of 10 when that happens, it's some new botnet command and control server that suddenly got stood up and the infected machines have been pointed to it. So, you know, that's another big piece of the APT puzzle, is being able to do the big data mining.
Sure.
And you do that for some pretty well-known companies as well. I've seen some of the companies that are your customers.
Absolutely.
Excellent. So, guys, we are probably, we're not. We're only in about 17 minutes. We have some time to drop off here. Wrap up here. Michael, for people who may want to find out more about the Zscaler APT solution, do you guys have any, like, white paper, website, section we can point them to?
Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't honestly off the top of my head know the right page, but I just did a Google on Zscaler APT, and lo and behold, Google answered my questions. I'll take you straight to...
Now, of course, that might have been an intercepted Google watering hole, and you might be giving out an APT here, but we'll take our chance.
As long as it results in a show for us, say that's a good watering hole.
Right? If not, there will be one soon. Once the podcast goes out.
But yeah, I actually see zscaler.com/zscaler-apt-detect. Is the page that'll help you out there. So anyway, put Google some great Zscaler APT, you'll find what you want.
Yeah, there's some great white papers on your site. Very good.
Yeah. Michael, that's excellent. You know, I also wanted to mention that Gartner, which I'm sure a lot of our listeners follow along with and maybe subscribe to, has also recently put out a bunch of APT related reports. As you know, as when I started off, it seems to be the attack everyone loves to hate. You know, there was a time where everyone said that APT is much ado about nothing. It's just, you know, conjured up by some marketing departments and certain security vendors that want to go public soon, or you know, gave the security media something to write about. But it's certainly real, and Gartner has come out recently with the 5 styles of advanced threat defense, as well as I think I saw something previously before that about, you know, some good advice on defending against APTs.
Yeah, I like Gartner's approach where they say they really agree with the defense in depth model. You know, they kind of have their 5 layers, and really it breaks down into doing network analysis, doing endpoint analysis, and then doing some payload analysis, but they break that into 5 pieces. And they say, hey, you may not be doing all 5 of these, but make sure you're doing 2 or more. And I think that's a really important point. You know, you need to be looking at these attacks from different angles, because there is no one silver bullet, but, you know, make sure the vendors that you're looking at are playing a role in more than one of the 5 ones that they mention. And sometimes that means you have to have different vendors, but I agree with that approach. You know, there is no – and if any vendor tells you that, hey, buy this and you're protected from APTs, go to another vendor.
Right. Because
that's just not the real world. I'm sorry. You know, I don't know, my CEO might be cringing to hear me say that, but it's, you know, a very honest statement.
I agree with you, Michael. And, you know, one of the things Mitchell, in our day, I remember when polymorphic attacks, you know, when we were doing StrataGuard, IDS, IPS, and the idea that, you know, an attack would break up into different multiple packets and then reassemble itself once it got past the IPS was kind of, wow, you know, that little bastard.
Seems pretty simple now.
Now it does, but really... APT is sort of the same thing in that, and I've spoken about this with people. The good news is because there's so many different pieces of the good news and bad news, it's a double-edged sword. Because there's so many different pieces of the APT attack methodology, right? It makes it hard to detect or have one silver bullet that it detects that is specific. A specific lifestyle, like think of it as a metamorphosis of a, you know, an insect or something. You may not get it as a pupa, you may not get it as a larva, you may not, you may get it as an adult. But along that lifestyle, it's actually a, that gives you a broad attack vector to attack this thing. If we can find it at any one of those at any one of those segments, at least we can detect it and do something about it. And so a good APT defense, in my mind, has the ability to detect APTs at, you know, all of or at multiple stages of its life cycle.
Yeah, I agree. And I think visibility is so important. You know, make sure you don't have blind spots. Make sure you're detecting inbound and outbound traffic. Make sure that there aren't certain offices that, you know, don't have logging. Make sure that their users, when they're outside of the office, you know, you're still seeing them regardless of if they're working from a coffee shop or they're on an iPad. Because it's when you have those blind spots that you're going to miss things. And visibility is so key in an APT attack because we can't rely on really noisy traffic. You know, this is the attack for firing with a rifle, not a shotgun. So you might see a little pin prick in your Tokyo office and a...
I think we might have lost Michael there, Mitchell. What a bummer.
But one thing I wanted to mention, too, about the Gartner, that's really helpful about how Gartner looks at this, is they talk about styles. This is what you're referring to as the network payload, et cetera. But more importantly, they talk about blending or bleed through of styles. So you may have different products. One may blend more of a payload analysis and endpoint forensics, whereas another one may blend more traffic analysis with network forensics. So that's one way you can look at the technology that you either use or maybe you're considering purchasing, like a Zscaler or other products, and determine, hey, this fits the gaps that I have that would help with not only APTs but other types of attacks.
Sure. So, Mitchell, we're at 23 minutes anyway. I think we'll sign off for Michael as well. Excellent discussion today on APT. I want to thank Michael Sutton and the folks at Zscaler for joining us today. Mitchell, it was a pleasure having you on.
It's great to be back. I appreciate being on the podcast. Thank you.
Okay.
And thank you for having me on, Mitchell.
Michael, you're back. Good. Okay. We thought we lost you there for a second.
It's a little blip on the radar, but I'm back.
Great. All right. So for Michael Sutton, Mitchell Ashley, and Alan Schimmel, this is the Open Network, and thank you very much for listening.